All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I think I have a problem with that silver medal. I think if I was an Olympic athlete, I would rather come in last than win the silver. If you think about it, you know, you win the gold, you feel good. You win the bronze, you think, well, at least I got something. But you win that silver, that's like, congratulations, you almost won. Of all the losers, you came in first of that group. You're the number one loser. No one lost ahead of you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Always In, Never Close podcast.
Remember when the team motto back in the Bob Harley day was like, always earn, never give it? They should switch it. They should put it on the wall, spray it up in the dressing room.
Always in, never close. I love how, like, thank you, Elliot. Could anybody have put it more succinctly? Does this not describe Brad Tree Living's last 5 years to a T? Always in. He was always in on it, just never close. Why would you, what a waste of time. What a waste of time and energy. Why were you always in on it and never close?
Yeah, like.
How does that make sense? For that long?
Yeah, that's my number one complaint with this whole Eichel thing is like, we'll get some other complaints. But I mean, why waste your time? Why waste everyone's time? Why put the rumors out there? Why possibly piss off people like Mac Chug? Like, what have you been doing? Why have you been kind of like, tangentially pursuing this for the last 7 months if you're not going to be close? I don't get it.
If you were never close, always in. Elliot says Brad Tree Living and the Calgary Flames were always in on Jack Eichel, but from my understanding, they were never close. Why waste your fucking time? You know how much fucking time that was? That was a colossal waste of time and energy.
Like, could have spent that time like trying to get Thomas Hertl or trying to sign Kachuk or trying to sign Gaudreau.
Just look at the amount of energy that got completely wasted on social media alone. Like, what? And this is what this organization is paying this guy to do? Just fucking just track this Eichel thing from day one. Oh yeah, the Flames. It's a 1 yard fucking finish, but the Flames aren't even close. So, like, dude. All right, we're going to get through the sequence of events.
Because it was a wild sequence of events. Holy cow, what a last 42 hours it's been.
Fucking Kevin Weeks, eh? With the absolute fucking... Oh,
Matthew Tkachuk, like, does he have to, like, hire his own PR guy or something for all these idiots spreading this misinformation about him?
Apparently, hey. This is back... Oh, man. Okay, so, I mean, obviously, as long as you're not living under a rock, you already know the sequence of events, but we'll go through them again. The first thing you hear is, okay, the trade talks are ramping up again. They want to get a deal done in the next day or two. And, oh, by the way, Calgary's still in it. Here's the few teams left remaining. And then Calgary Flames fans are kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, we're still in it. Sweet, sweet. And then, I don't know who it is, but, oh, yeah, it's the PR people from Buffalo. They come out and say, oh, yeah, it's fucking right down to the wire. There's two teams left.
Emily Kaplan from ESPN said it's like it's down to Calgary and Vegas.
Right on the fucking one-yard finish line. Okay, wow, way to get everybody's hopes up, Emily. Hey, because the fucking – at that point, Flames fans are like, holy shit, maybe we do get Jack Eichel.
Yeah, and we were trying to figure out, like, okay, maybe this can work cap-wise, like, because maybe you can, like, dump Zdor. Maybe this works. Maybe they've talked to Monahan about moving. Maybe we can do this. It's like...
Well, here's how... This is what I've been saying to you. This is what we've been saying is, okay, if the reports are true, and Brad Treliving actually still is in on this, he must have a solution in line, right? Why would he be in on it for so fucking long if he didn't have the solution in terms of relieving himself cap wise? Now I beg.
Now you know it was all pretend performative bullshit, probably.
Think of the amount of hours that even just fans spent trying to crunch the cap numbers and come up with solutions and fucking, what a waste of time. Seriously. So then it goes from, oh yeah, it's a one yard line finish, to, okay, here's the new report. It's Matthew Tkachuk going to Buffalo. Thanks, Kevin Weeks, for another former first-rounder prospects. Did he say anything else? Was that the...
Dude, when that dropped, because here's the exact tweet that Kevin Weeks sent out. When people like this say stuff like this, like, you can't help but, like, not think that it's, like, somewhat true, right? Like,
well, it's Kevin.
He works for ESPN. He works for the NHL Network. He works for TSN. Like, you'd feel like when you see stuff like this and you're a fan and he's verified, and, like, it's kind of alarming. So Week says it was Tkachuk, a former first round pick. So he didn't know who.
Well, and then he also
prospects.
He also throws in there in brackets on after Tkachuk, who is a future potential captain. An upcoming first round pick, former first round pick, and two prospects in the Eichel sweepstakes. That's from his understanding what the Flames have offered. Now, that causes an immediate reaction, does it not?
An immediate reaction, an immediate collective, like, head explosion from everyone.
That got Twitter in a frenzy. I don't know about Instagram. It probably got Instagram in a frenzy.
Sure did.
But yeah, that made things. That was like throwing gasoline right on top of the fire. Eh, like, that was ridiculous,
dude. That was like dropping a new atom bomb in the middle of downtown Calgary.
If you're listening, you probably remember. Just think, what kind of response did you have? Because I was like, oh, fuck no. He's going to fuck this up. You have to trade your best player away in order to fucking go get somebody, right? Just like, do you not understand the concept of adding? I pulled the fan base. I said, how do you feel about it? 8% said, good. Tkachuk's overrated. 22% asked the question, how does this even make us better? This is like a lateral move. So what's the fucking point? 29% said Brad's a complete idiot.
That's and just then, in general, not even referring to this probably.
And then 41%, this is the winner of the poll. This is 525 votes. Said, well, I guess it's worth it for Jack. Now, I know I saw you put out something on Instagram saying, sure, Jack Eichel is a better player than Matthew Tkachuk in a vacuum. But how is that? How do you trade Tkachuk with all those other assets for Jack Eichel when, questionably, in some circumstances, you would prefer to keep Matthew Tkachuk one for one?
Well, let's say you prefer to keep Matthew Tkachuk, right? Like, that's the thing is, like, everyone is thinking, oh, Eichel's better than Tkachuk. Sure, but, like, look at what Matt Tkachuk does for this team. To just delete him from the roster and have to wait 3 months for Jack Eichel to get here would be insane.
He's been our best player, has he not?
He has been the best player on this team this year, for sure.
I mean, Johnny Gaudreau is the best, but if you want to look at underlyings, Matthew Tkachuk consistently has been, well, him and Lindholm been big play drivers.
So, I mean, that was my first thing is like, okay, well, we're just going to delete our best player from our team right now. And then, like, okay, let's say, sure, Tkachuk and Eichel one for one. If there was some sort of contract dispute with Matthew Tkachuk where he sat down with Brad and said, I'm not signing here. I don't want to sign here. Okay, well, then there's a discussion to be had. But is Jack Eichel, Juuso Välimäki, Matthew Coronado, a first-round pick, and another prospect better than Matt Tkachuk? I don't know. I don't think so. It's way too much. And I think the freakout was like to what you were saying is like, why do we have to give up our best player and the entire franchise in a trade? You know, isn't a trade supposed to work for both sides? Like, weigh the benefits versus the reward here, you know?
You called this out right away, right? I remember seeing your stories on Instagram that you said this is probably an intentional leak, a fake leak totally. From Buffalo to the media just to up the ante from Vegas at the Wire. Right. And I mean, yes, that makes sense from a strategic place. I don't even know if that should be allowed, dude. Like, should Gary and the league create some sort of penalty for teams that do that? It's kind of like you always have this. There are some conflict of interest rules in place.
There's right? tampering. Yep.
Yeah. There's tampering stuff. How does this not form part of that? It's like, well, like how you could potentially create what's already it seems to be a pretty volatile situation between Matthew Tkachuk and this organization. I mean, I don't know for sure if that's true, but if you look at what's gone on in the last 24 months between him and the club, you would kind of make an argument that the relationship could be a bit rocky. So you have a situation like this. If it's completely false, should it be allowed?
Well, I'd like to hear, because again, this, remember when the O'Brien stuff happened?
Yep.
Shane O'Brien comes out and says, Tkachuk wants out of Calgary.
And then 8 months later says, oh, I never said that.
Yeah. And then totally backs off and lies. But according to Pinder and some guys who are plugged in at the Fan, they said the organization was quite pissed.
The O'Brien thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now this is kind of like the reverse, right? Because in the summertime, it's a rumor going around that Tkachuk now has to tell the organization, no, I never said that. Now this is the opposite. Now the organization now has to tell Tkachuk, no, I never said that.
Exactly. It's
like, Tkachuk seems to be the center of the drama, which that's fitting for who he is. But I don't know. To me, that was a big thing right away. Was like, okay, this trade doesn't make sense for me because why would Buffalo, when Tkachuk is an expiring deal at the end of the season,
exactly,
why the fuck would he want to re-sign in Buffalo?
He's not re-signing in Buffalo.
So why would that be the crucial piece going the other way? That made no sense.
That was a tip off to this being probably some sort of negotiation leak, because this is something that Friedman has talked about. And I, he says, like, when things like this leak, that's why I always only trust Elliot, pretty much, right? When a big piece of news comes out and I seek his word as soon as something like this happens. Elliot has said, like, generally, if there's a leak, like a big leak of like information, it's done on purpose. Like, there's a purpose behind it from somebody involved in the proceedings, right? Because right. Otherwise, why would it get out? Like, what would be the incentive for somebody to put something out there if it hurts their team or their bargaining power? So, and I mean, even Pierre LeBrun said that Vegas was kind of felt some pressure because his article on TSN and Insider Trading, LeBrun said that at one point Vegas thought that Calgary was getting Eichel on Wednesday, and it was probably based off that report that they were offering up Matthew Tkachuk. So,
well, yeah, because they look at what,
right? They look at Krebs in a first and talk, and they're like, oh shit, as if they're not going to take that. So it seems like this was complete BS from the start.
Yeah. But okay, my question to you is, do you think that should be allowed or not?
I don't know. I don't know how you control that, right?
Well, you would just have to hand out fines, I guess.
Do what the Joker does. He says, I know a squealer when I see one, and he's a squealer.
I don't know. I guess you're right. How do you police it? But fuck, man. I mean, I guess if it's a different situation, but like I said, everything just seems to always circle around Matthew Tkachuk these days. But I guess that's just who he is.
But here's the thing, right? Like, I think it'll continue to circle around him until the Flames lock him up.
Until they lock him up and make him the captain.
Yeah, twofold, which is what the Senators did with Brady Tkachuk. They're doing everything we should be doing with Matthew Tkachuk. So, and you know what, like it's a long time ago, but it's kind of like the only Flames, similar Flames situation that's related is kind of before Jerome was named the captain and it was like, was the guy here. There was some contract disputes. Like, he held out. There was a training camp. He wasn't here. It was a bit of an untenable situation. And until the Flames committed to him on a long term, on a big deal, gave him the captaincy, it was a bit rocky.
Well, and this is just, it's not necessarily what players do. It's just what agents do, right? This is what the role of the agent is. The agent wants to get the player the best dollar amount that they can, what they feel like they're worth. That's what they're going to bat to do. They want to give them the best deal, right? The player has their own desires in terms of, you know, length of contract, where they want to stay. I don't necessarily, I mean, there's a lot of suitcases in the league, meaning they played for what, more than five teams. Like, how many teams has Hoffman played for now? Just every season it's a new team. Maybe some guys like that, but if you got a family, you got kids and they're in school, you don't want to be fucking moving around every, you know, 10 months. So I that's part of the negotiation. And I don't know. It's just like, it's a normal thing. It's a normal thing for players to hold out and fucking get the best deal. It's par for the course, essentially. You don't have to look at it in terms of like, oh fuck, you know, you see some fan bases, I don't know, they boo their player when they come back. Only the hardcore ones do that. But
I'm turning into a total Karen at the Dome. I'm a dick. I'm sorry. But I scolded somebody when at the last Carolina game, I was out there booing Dougie Hamilton and I yelled at them and they thought I was really weird. I guess because I am. But yeah, don't boo your former players.
Yeah. No shit.
That was embarrassing for me. So if you're the person I scolded at the Dome for booing Dougie Hamilton, I sincerely apologize. But you still shouldn't do it.
If you're the person that I scolded for reading a book at the hockey game, then I apologize. That happened to me a couple years ago. Oh, I look over. It's like a good game too. It's like I look over. There's a guy fucking two rows down reading a fucking book.
What the shit?
He went to the game and reading a book.
I mean, was Ward the coach at that point, or was this even before? Maybe if it was Gullitson.
It was Gullitson.
Okay, well, there you go.
Actually, it might have been Peters.
Well, still.
That's when they were fucking just scoring goals.
Yeah, they scored again. It's 6-1. Who cares?
So thankfully, Elliot comes and squashes that almost instantaneously because things were getting pretty fucking ridiculously heated. It was getting wild, completely wild. Then when Elliot squashes it, things kind of cool off a bit, but the excitement level's still there. Everybody's waiting in anticipation.
I think the problem with Elliot that people miss when Elliot squashed the Tkachuk thing is that he also said that from his understanding, Vegas was still way farther along this process than Calgary.
Yep. Elliot has been the sobering kind of realistic, voice of reason throughout the whole thing. And that's why you appreciate him and his work so much when it comes to this stuff. But when you're hours away from figuring out who it's going to be, you have a chance, right? Or at least you think you do if you're a Flames fan. Then you find out 10 hours later that, oh no, they were never actually in on it. Or they were in on it. They were just never close.
Not serious about it.
No.
So, and I mean, again, like we said off the top of this, if you just look at the math and what the Flames would have had to do, in coupling with Bradshaw leaving's history, like this would have been a complicated move that would have involved shedding multiple players. If you think about it logically, it's like, of course this wasn't going to happen.
No, like that's why we've been saying, how the fuck do you make this happen? Right? It's like, yeah, you have the assets. You do. We could have put together a better package.
Dude, you're telling me that acquisition cost the Flames couldn't have matched that, but it's a salary issue.
Exactly. You absolutely could have matched it, but then you need a third party to shed cap in order to bring Eichel in. And that's the real issue. Brad has made way too many mistakes in the past 5 years to put himself in cap hell.
Past 5 years, past 5 months, even.
No shit. Well, like you said, if only you didn't spend $6 million on Zadorov and Gabranson,
yeah,
you probably could have made it work.
If you don't have Zadorov and Gabranson, who have played really well last night, but if you don't have those two contracts on your books and you can like send say like Dubé and Valimaki Buffalo's way, then that's the salary.
So the night before, the eve of the trade, I put another poll out and I asked people, how are you all going to feel when Eichel is traded to Vegas? 11%. This is 500 votes. 11% said confused. What the hell happened? 27 said indifferent. Meh, whatever. 28 said relieved, because when there's rumors out there that you're going to lose the face of the current face of the franchise. Yeah. Is it not? Come on.
100%. And again, like forever, all the talk about like the dude is what? He's 23. He's 23 still.
How good is he going to be better than Jack Eichel in 2-3 years?
Like, if
he
continues to progress, just hitting his prime. All goes well, like 23, 24, 25 is like usually when guys peak.
He doesn't even look slow anymore. A couple bad penalties last night. He plays on the edge. He's going to clean it up. Right. But you don't want to take him away from that edge. So you want to coach him. Look, at least it's not fucking Backlund where it's every single fucking night he takes a stick infraction. Zadorov knows that he can't fuck around anymore. You've seen what he's done a little bit of a better job staying out of the penalty box. But these guys are going to get the message. I'm not worried about that. I mean, yes, there's areas of Tkachuk's game that's still area room for improvement. But when he does, like, this guy is going to be a pretty complete player.
Yeah, complete is the right word. Like, again, for everybody, it's like, oh, the Flames are off to a great start. He's like a main driver of that. You look at the Flames 5-on-5 numbers, the top, they've been carried by the top line. And I mean, Lindholm and Gaudreau have been getting all the points, but a lot of the dirty work and a lot of the play driving and a lot of the results are driven by Tkachuk's ability at 5-on-5. So, like, to think he's not a great player or going to be a great player over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I think is a big mistake.
It's funny because I mentioned it. The drama that kind of circles around this guy in particular, but don't you want that? Don't you love that? Like, come on, doesn't it make it so fuck? It makes this so much more interesting to follow this team. I mean, yeah, the last 24 hours was pretty, there was a lot of drama involved, right?
Well, something I've been like saying to people who were like, because I know there are some people, and I'm not disagreeing with them, who are like, yeah, well, Kachuk would be worth it for Eichel. But don't you just love having Matthew Kachuk on this team? Like, think of how boring the last 5 years watching this team would have been without this guy. Like, nothing would be happening ever. It's such a drag.
Right? It'd be like, Johnny Gaudreau look phenomenal. Look at what he's creating. Or that's about it. Nothing.
Like, can you imagine the Oilers games without this? It'd just be McDavid beating us into the ground every single night for 5 years.
Yeah, because you know fucking Lucic ain't doing shit in those games.
So, just a little appreciation of Matthew Kachuk. And I mean, like we said, Brady was made captain today, right? Like, I want them to commit to Kachuk. And I know you do too. And I think he's worth, everyone's like, oh, I don't know if he's worth $9 million. I think he's worth $9 million. And
he absolutely is.
He just as a player, yes, he's worth $9 million. But even more so to this team and to this city and to this market, he's worth $9 million. Because it is kind of funny, right? Like, something you hear is like, a lot from media guys in Calgary and just in general, like, oh, well, they don't, who wants to play in Calgary? Right? Like, that's why I think everybody's been so crazed to get Jack Eichel. It's like, there's a chance we can get a guy like this. Doesn't come along very often. I think the guys like Kachuk, you know? So
they
when you have
really
a home,
fucking don't.
Right? When you have a homegrown star, which is what you have to do in a small market, lock him up. Get him. Treat him well. Lock him up.
Who leads this team in points currently? I'm trying to pull it up while we're talking. Is it,
I think it's Gaudreau still.
It's Johnny, but Chucky's been up in his production level.
Dude, he's got 4 goals now?
Let's see here. So we got Elias leads the team, and it's funny, Lindholm and Mangiapane, they led the league last week with 7 goals. They still have 7 goals each. Chucky's creeping up with 5.
He's got 7 points in 10 games.
Yeah, so Lindholm has 12, Gaudreau has 11.
Rass Daddy and Shillington, baby, quietly
they're creeping up.
Oh yeah,
but I would not be surprised if it's a close first and second between Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Kachuk for who ends up with the most points this season. Chucky is starting to he had a bit of a slow start, but you can tell his production is starting to catch up now. And I agree. I think he is worth $9 million.
He's worth it. Like, who makes $9 million in this league right now? That, like, I guess Draisaitl is like the only guy, but he was signed in a different era of contracts.
He's worth it. You mean he was locked up?
And that's what I'm saying. On? If you had locked up Matthew Kachuk back,
Mangiapane
and Mangiapane
Gaudreau.
If you had locked up, because like I don't. What age was Johnny Gaudreau when he signed his big deal, the first one that has turned into the biggest bargain in the NHL, save for maybe Nathan MacKinnon, right? Like, that's what this all kind of leads back to, is like, Kate, we wouldn't have to be, we shouldn't be in a position where we have to give Kachuk this amount of money if Tree Living had signed him like the Senators signed Brady. Like, if you trade for a leak in the offseason of 2019, or you don't sign James Neal in the previous offseason, have to deal with Milan Lucic's contract, you could have easily locked up Matthew Kachuk to a, what, $7.5 million a year deal for on the long-term deal. You could have done that. You didn't have to bridge him. The reason, in my opinion, they bridged him was because they were trying to win in that 2019-20 season, and they were stuck in cap hell because, like they said, Lucic, Frolik, all these bad contracts on their books. They couldn't afford to fully, properly extend Matthew Kachuk, like similarly with Andrew Mangiapane. So that's kind of my argument too, is like the Flames have kind of put themselves in this position too, where they have to pay him more than they would have had they committed to him earlier.
The Flames, one guy did it.
One guy.
Mr. Second Place. Second Place did it. It's not even BP Junior anymore. It's now second place. Eh? I mean, we open up
number two.
We open up the podcast with the Seinfeld bit. I got a problem with second place. You get the silver medal. You almost won. Congratulations. Out of all the losers, You came in first, Brad. You're the number one loser.
Number one loser. Like Brad, 5 years in a row, baby.
You're the best loser of the bunch. 5 years straight. Eh? He holds the longest record, and he's got the longest running record of consecutive second place finishes. Eh? Mr. Second Place. Oh, man. I can't wait to see who he almost gets next.
Maybe he'll almost sign Johnny Gaudreau this offseason.
Who should we almost get next? That's my question.
Philip Forsberg?
Philip Forsberg, he'd be great to almost get. What about, this is a great point that you put on Instagram is, we'll come back to this again because you do have the staunch second place, Mr. Second Place, Bradtree Living Defenders out there. That, what was he supposed to do? What would you have done? Blah, blah, blah. This, that, right? And it's just like, there's never a fucking, now what? You were apparently in on Jack Eichel for 8 months. Completely wasted your time because you were never close. So, like you said in your Instagram stories, apparently you've identified a really big need. A 1C or even a 2C would be good because Elias Lindholm can perform in a 1C position. But now what, Brad? You can't go out and get Jack Eichel. So who's gonna be on your target now? And that's been the biggest problem is every time you finish a second place, there's never any more pursuit until 6 months down the road, another guy becomes available. Let me almost get him now.
Well, right. It's like again, it's the Mark Stone thing. Okay, we didn't get Stone, so we're not gonna do anything. And then in the offseason, we'll just get Lucic. It's like that's not really the solution. Like, obviously, if you wanted Mark Stone and Nazem Kadri and Jason Zucker and Taylor Hall and Jack Eichel and Josh Anderson, you must think that this team needs help up front, and you're still kind of like dicking around. Like, I mean, Steve Dangle tweeted out, he was like, well, for all the teams that didn't end up getting Eichel, Calgary, Anaheim, etc., what now? It feels like you don't go from trying to trade for Eichel to doing absolutely nothing.
Yes, you do.
And then Flames Twitter promptly responded to Steve Dangle and was like, you must be new here. This is what we do in Calgary. That's exactly what we're going to do, probably.
Always in, never close. It's the new motto for Bradtree Living. It's probably, you know how you see in dressing rooms, you got those like, you know, commitment and you got these little like one word sayings. That's the label in Bradtree Living's office. Always in, never close.
Which again, that's the most frustrating part of all of these Tree Living things. And again, like if this happens once or twice, you can go with the K, trades fall apart, trades are hard to make, blah, 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 blah.
There's a pattern.
But when there is a 3-year multiplayer pattern and there's no follow-up, right? Like that's what's frustrating is like, okay, well, why are we just signing Gabranson then? Like you're going to go from Eichel to just saying, no, we'll just kind of get a few guys to fill out the fringes. That's what's frustrating for most fans. The most frustrating part of all of this for most fans is not even just about Jack Eichel. It was never just about Mark Stone. It's not about these players even individually. It's just like what happens after is usually not is has been nothing.
Everybody, this was like, and people know now because it's like, yeah, like you said, if it's one or two times.
Well, it's like the boy who cried wolf at this point.
Yeah. If it's one or two times and yeah, the first couple times it was, then the fourth time it happens, then you're just like, oh, okay, well we're in on Hall. Let's see what happens. Oh yeah. I figured that was going to happen. You're in on it to the very end.
Yeah.
He was in on it, always in, never close. And then this whole Jack Eichel thing, I think what 90% of the fan base was like, sure. We were holding on to a hope and a wish that it could actually be true. Jack Eichel could be a Calgary Flame. But in the back of everybody's fucking mind, you're just like, we all know what's going to happen. He's going to almost get him. He's going to be right into the very, very end. You're going to hear the reports on, oh, there's a few teams left.
Calgary's one of them.
Calgary was right there. But at the end of the day, they almost won. Mm-hmm. They were that close.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point.
If you are in Canada or a sportsbook isn't available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed as they have great daily fantasy sports options. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Promo code is THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You gotta be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. There's a minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So always and never.
And then the fact that there's no follow-up ever, like, it gets you wondering, okay, why is he, like we said, why is he wasting everyone's time? Why is he doing this? Like, you're left with the question of, like, okay, is he just doing this for show? Right? Is it?
Or does he have some, he gets off on just, like,
right?
You know?
Like, that's honestly, like, at this point, my kind of, like, hunch is, like, hey, well, maybe he's just doing this to, like, appease the broad casual fan who, like, oh, I heard the Flames almost got Eichel and they just couldn't make it happen. Heard they almost got Stone. Heard they almost got Hall. Heard they almost got player XXX. It's like, I don't know why he's doing this if he's not going to address the need that he seems to think this team has identified. It's just, I don't know. It leaves me with some questions, as per usual.
Did you know Brad almost was in on Gretzky? He almost got Wayne Gretzky, guys.
He almost got Ovi. He almost got Sid.
Yeah, they were even available, but he almost got him.
Anyways, like, that's the most frustrating part of all of this. Not even that we didn't get Eichel. Not that Vegas has added Mark Stone and Jack Eichel for, like, nothing over the past 2-3 years. But the fact that for, like, 3 years straight, we've been in on all these guys, haven't gotten any of them, and then there's been no follow-up.
I would couple that with the fact that you potentially pissed off Matthew Tkachuk again.
Yeah, totally.
The fact that this whole long drawn out process, yeah, which could have been just for show, mm-hmm, because if you were always in but never close, what the fuck were you doing? So anyways, this whole long drawn out process, it was actually Chase on Instagram, on Twitter, he said this, it was pretty funny, nailed it. The fact that you failed to get Jack Eichel, and in the process, you were able to piss off Matthew Tkachuk again. Wow. Good job, Brad Sheldon.
Very well.
You fucking handled. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Right? Not only did you not get Jack Eichel, while doing it, you potentially soured your relationship with Tkachuk even more. Good job.
And again, this could all be remediated and would all go away. And I think all the media speculation would go away if they just, you know, had locked him up, made him captain, committed to him a little bit. Like, hey, now that there's no $10 million Eichel coming, what's the hesitation to get Gaudreau signed and stuff? Like, that's hopefully what we should start seeing next.
Oh, no. He's going to be window shopping some more. Hey, you know that's what's going to happen. He's going to distract everybody again for another fucking however long it's going
to be. Yeah, like, is that what it is? Like, I was saying maybe he's just, like, doing it for show. Is it sleight of hand to distract people from the fact that, like, you know, he hasn't signed. I don't know. I don't know why.
Even if it's
I don't know why he's wasting his time doing this.
Even if it's on a subconscious level,
right?
That has to be part of the reasoning. All right. Anything else before we get to the game breakdown?
No, I mean, like, we all knew it probably wasn't going to happen. We're still left with what's next. And
hey, the good news is the team's looking pretty good.
Yeah, that's so. What I was going to say. Like, we're all just thankful the team looks good and that Daryl Sutter is doing his thing.
Because imagine if we didn't have Daryl Sutter, if we still had Jeff Ward, we had to deal with this, I would literally be banging my head against the wall. A cement one.
Eh? Oh, man.
With nails sticking
out. Oh, man. It would be rough. It would be rough around here.
So the Nashville game is interesting because if you're looking at the games that we've lost, you've only lost two games before that. The Edmonton game and the Ducks game, you dominated Edmonton 5-on-5. You absolutely dominate the Ducks 5-on-5. And then Nashville, I think you dominated Nashville more so than the Ducks and the Oilers, and you still lose that game. So at least the games you're losing, You're getting a point. Like Sutter said, you get a comeback point. That team wouldn't have done that last year. And I don't think they would have. I think he's right. So at least there's something to take away from it. But the big thing for me is you're still playing good hockey, even though you're losing games. I don't want to see the opposite. I don't want to see you lay a fucking egg and then you come back and be like, hey, what's going on with this team? I prefer that when they do lose their games, they're actually games they probably deserve to win, because that's a sustainable way to play over 82 games. Over 82 games, that's all going to fare out, right? You're gonna win most of those games. And so I don't know. Do you feel the same way when you see whatever that deserve to win the millimeter was for the Nashville game? It was like ridiculous.
It was like 80% Flames. I feel the same way because getting these guys to play a certain style of hockey, which is good, which, like you said, over the long term wins you games, is ultimately going to serve the purpose of winning more playoff games, I hope.
Well, and this, to me, it sets the stage for potential breakout seasons, right? If you look at the amount of chances you're getting, where's the...
Dude, that first period was insane. They had like six breakaways.
That was bizarre. Hey, it's like breakaway after breakaway after breakaway.
Like that, there was a 10-minute stretch there in that first period that was like absolute, like, again, Predators and Flames always play these wild games. It's like, I don't know what it is about Nashville, but like Calgary and like the Flames had 18 scoring or shots. Did they have 18 shots, 5-on-5 in the first period? They had 9 high danger scoring chances in the first period. It was wild.
Those breakaways, man, none of them really.
I don't know why they're shooting 5-hole all the friggin' time.
So the game report, 40 shots to Nashville's 22. For me, this is the big stinker. The power play goes 1-for-6. I get it. As much as we harp on the power play, for somehow they're 4th in the league. This is what they were showing last night.
Yeah.
But you can't go 1-for-6, man. You're dominating them so hard, you're drawing so many penalties.
Yeah, you gotta put the puck, and that's what Daryl said, right? Like, you gotta score. He was talking about it in the game last night, but I think it applies to this game against the Predators, right? It's like, okay, well, at some point you have to score.
Yep. The shot attempts are 52 to 33 for the Flames. Scoring chances, you fucking doubled them in scoring chances. 29 to 13. High danger, 11 to 5. Expected goals for 72% to their 28. Utter domination. And I think that, sure, we know that we have a finishing issue. If that's Edmonton,
yeah,
and they have 29 scoring chances, you're telling me not going to score 6 goals?
Draisaitl alone would score 6 goals,
right? But the way I look at this is like I feel like if you're playing this style of hockey, you have the potential for breakout seasons. You know you have guys like Lindholm can put the puck in the back of the net. Chucky's starting to find the back of the net. Johnny's starting to find the back of the net. I don't know about Monahan. You got to think that Dubé and Mangiapane, one of these guys, maybe it's going to be Dubé, but somebody's got to start kind of having a bit of a breakout and push their numbers. They got to push their ceiling a bit higher in terms of goals scored because we need more goals.
We're getting them from Zadorov, baby.
Yeah. Fucking that was nice. Hey, last night.
We'll get to that in a minute, but
What were your thoughts on Coleman for the last two games? Because his game started to seem like it was really starting to elevate, but he kind of disappeared a bit for me the last two games.
Yeah, I think it's time to put Mangiapane in Pitlick's spot because you really need that. You need goals from that second line more than anything right now, right? Because like the top line is carrying you so much in terms of offense, the Kachuk, Drow, Lindholm line.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Coleman Backlund Pitlick group has been great. They've been driving play, but you need them to score. So, I mean, I've liked Coleman's game, but you probably want to see that trio putting the puck in the back of the net a bit more.
I don't think he'll make any changes yet, just because they are playing great hockey. And I don't know, he has a different approach to how he's separating or spreading it out over the lines. But I don't think he'll make any changes unless things really start to dry up.
Yeah,
is my guess.
I mean, again, like I'm just thinking about playoff games. Like we said, Edmonton probably scores 28 goals, but Edmonton sucks 5-on-5. Like, they're a shitty 5-on-5 team. If that's a play, if that's a playoff game between Calgary and Edmonton, where they don't call penalties usually in the playoffs, and the games are won, like, again, you saw this last year with Montreal, right? Like, who's a better team, Montreal or Toronto? Like, Toronto all day long, but Montreal beat them. Montreal went to the Stanley Cup final, for shit's sake.
They can't win a fucking game now.
Right? Yeah, they suck now because they lost all their good players. It seems Philippe Deneau might have been kind of important to what the Canadiens were doing there, eh, guys? But I feel like you play the Oilers in a tightly contested playoff game. If you play like that, you're going to win.
Matthew Tkachuk is the highest game scorer here in this game with Mangiapane. This is a Nashville game.
And look, like Daryl said, you battle back to get that battle back point. On probably, I haven't cheered that hard at a goal than when Oliver Shillington put that bar down. I haven't cheered that hard for a goal probably since, like, I can't even remember. Holy shit, dude.
You're cheering a whole bunch of things at once. That's why. First off, you're tying the game, right? Secondly, to do it in that fashion with that sexy of a goal. Thirdly, it's Oliver fucking Shillington, right? So combine all those things and just, like, dude, that was, oh my God, that was nice. Fuck.
That was so sweet. And, like, I, again, Daryl nailed it, right? After the game, he's like, that's a battle back point, like you said, that this team would not have picked up last year.
Shillington also sets up the game tying goal last night against Dallas.
What a rush.
And now Daryl Sutter's calling him Shilly. Eh? Eh? Daryl Sutter's starting to like this guy, isn't he? How good did Shillington look last night? Look, I get it. He's going to clean up his turnovers. He always seems to get himself back out of trouble. But, man, the burst of speed on this guy. There was that one play, I think, in the second period when we fucking dominated Dallas in the second period. But there's one play where he skates blue line to blue line back into his zone, and he just explodes. And it's like, there's a guy like 3 feet ahead of him, and he just still gets the puck from him. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's the same play I'm thinking of, where he did turn it over at the blue line, I think.
Yeah.
And then just busts it back in like 5 seconds to the neutral zone. And that's what I've said about him too. Like, for all the shit people give him for his turnovers and stuff, I've always kind of pointed out, well, he's such a great skater that he usually can skate himself out of trouble. So
I would love to see him in the fastest skater competition, dude.
Oh, he'd win.
Fuck, is he fast?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. So I don't like the Nashville goals. The Kunin one's complete fluke, just like Sagan's goal last night.
And like that game was like, okay, you know how Pittsburgh dominated us, but Markstrom was insane? That was like, we got UC Soros against Nashville. Fluky goals, and he was unbelievable, and we couldn't finish.
Kunin scores one at Fluky off his chest. He's celebrating like he meant to do it. I don't like it. I do not like it when players do that. They should be laughing. Be like, oh, God, I'll take
it. Yeah, oh, I'll take it.
Yeah. Tkachuk ties it up with a PPG. Then Forsberg, my God, does he look dangerous, eh? I think he got injured in that game, which is like, okay, great. We'll give Edmonton our sloppy seconds and no Forsberg, right? And with their backup goalie. Mm-hmm. Well, their third stringer backup goalie.
You're welcome.
But Forsberg ties it up. Maybe he'd be great to almost get, eh?
Yeah, if we lose out to him because, like who would get him? Who's going to get him? Vegas, probably.
Edmonton, probably. Eh?
Edmonton will get him for, like, a second and a third. And, like...
Well, and Brad will be always in on it, but just never close.
It's like, we looked at it, and the price wasn't right.
We tried everything we could.
Tried everything we could. They were asking for way too much, and I couldn't do it.
Like you said, Shillington ties it up, and then the OT goal. Like, this is brutal, man. That's a blatant trip on the blue line from Mangiapane. I'm not understanding the no calling penalties when they're penalties in overtime, back to back games. I'm not really understanding that.
It was the exact play on both overtime losses, a trip that should have been called.
Here's the thing. First of all, it's tripping. Second of all, the guy that tripped him is now up on the play.
And then he interferes with Tkachuk on the back check.
And sure, I don't mind him getting away with that interference, but that's a fucking trip. Now that guy, now Mangiapane is completely out of the play. They're going up on the ice 3-on-2.
I think it was Backlund, right? You're natural,
because
right?
of the yeah. trip. Oh, it was Backlund?
Yeah.
Because of the trip. So And then they score on that fucking.
Yeah, there's nothing more infuriating than a missed call that directly leads to a game-winning goal. Like, holy shit.
Like, what are you doing? There's two of you. There's only fucking six players on the ice. It's right where the fucking puck was. How was that not called? I don't think Daryl mentioned anything about that after the Nashville game, but he definitely mentioned it after the Dallas game.
Oh, totally.
There's a missed call.
I don't know how you – like, again, the NHL officiating is probably – it's – the standard is so pathetically low. It's just brutal.
Anything else from the Nashville game that stuck out to you? Johnny Gaudreau, I think you said, was your pick.
Oh, dude. Johnny, like
– I can't believe how good he looks, man. This is the best he's ever – I've ever seen him. I'm sure
– honestly, like, he looks as good as he ever has.
Exactly. I'm not saying he's looked better than he ever has, because – there's a couple of seasons where he wins player of the month when he's just fucking unbelievable. He looks that good right now.
Like, Johnny had, he had a
leg. He's in for it now, though.
Oh, he's in for it under Sutter. Like, he'll never succeed in this defense first. Again, like, after that first period, I was like, yeah, you guys like Daryl Sutter hockey yet? Holy shit.
I cannot believe.
Having the puck all the time is fun, eh?
Playing with pace and speed is really hard to watch, eh? That's the biggest difference, because I know Daryl was stressing it when he first came in, and we didn't really see much change the first few games we did, but we didn't really see a big, you know, we didn't really see that translate across the board to end the season. Holy fuck, to start this season, this team pushes pace. That second period against Dallas last night, we absolutely fucking dominated them. Usually we're the ones getting dominated for the majority of the game against Dallas.
Yeah.
They play a similar game, but man, we took it to him for the majority of the game. I thought it was pretty evenly matched, but that second period was not even close.
So Johnny Gaudreau against Nashville before we moved to Dallas, 11 shot attempts, 7 scoring chances, 4 high danger chances. Like, he was all over the place. And I know he missed a few, he missed that wide open net, but boy, he looked good. The one thing I didn't want to say about 3-on-3 against Nashville is, like, I want to see Coleman more.
No shit.
Like, could you push him out there instead of Backlund?
At least he's got Shillington out there now, eh?
Oh, yeah. Shilly.
Shilly is becoming Daryl, one of Daryl's favorite players all of a sudden. Zadorov had a better game last night, hey?
It was very good.
He's starting to realize, and this is how you know the Sutter effect is real. Zadorov scores, and he looks pissed off about it, right? If you look at his face, he's not celebrating. He's not happy. He's pissed off. I like it. I like it. Keep him in the lineup for now.
Totally. You earn your ice.
That was such a good snipe, too. Eh? Holy shit. All right. Let's go to Dallas. Give us the game report there.
Well, again, I thought this was – the first period was kind of rough.
Yeah, it was. That was probably our worst first period of the season.
And it was mostly because, like, I don't think we've played a team who's defensively structured as Dallas is. Like, they play probably the closest in the neutral zone anyways to how the Flames play, where they do like to clog it up.
And post-game, Daryl did say the first period was rough.
Yeah, he said they had a slow start. I mean, I think he even mentioned he was talking about how Dallas, like, is a really well-structured team.
Yeah, they're big. They've been playing the way they have been for a while. They know how to do it.
Yeah, and that's what you saw in that first period. So, not a great first period. I mean, the goal was...
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, was that on the Chucky Chirp penalty? Like, I've never seen in my life as a hockey fan somebody get a penalty for chirping.
Stop being a fucking hero.
Yeah, right? It's the weird... Like, I'm sure, like... The most unimaginable things are said on the NHL ice. Like, I've never seen who's the biggest dirtbag in the league. I don't know, like Tom Wilson or do they get penalties for like mouthing off? I've never heard of that.
Well, especially when, at least for the first half of the game, there's Dallas isn't getting called for shit.
That was some grade A shit. Again, last night. The Nashville game missed calls last night was an absolute joke.
That's frustrating.
But anyways, a bit of a rough first period. But I mean, like you said, the Flames owned the second, 4 high danger chances to Dallas's 0 at 5-on-5. Flames end the night with 33 shots to Dallas's 28. Go 1-for-5 on the power play. Dallas goes 1-for-3. I mean, again, 1-for-5. Power play's been good, but maybe get one more goal in that game.
That's 2 for 11 in the last two games.
Yeah, you need to. Your percentage needs to be higher on that.
You lost out on probably at least one, maybe 2 points, because your power play went 2 for 11 in the last two games.
Flames own possession, shot attempts 43-32. They own the scoring chances again by a margin, a slim margin this time, 19-15. But high danger chances, 9-5. Expected goals for 57 to Dallas's 43%. So, I mean, a pretty sound game after a slow start. And again, like Sutter said, they earned the 1 point. Because again, they battled back, which is, again, like, you didn't see that very much last year. Like, you know when the team, when, like, if Dallas is up 2-1 last year.
Yeah. Or like, three.
Fuck.
Yeah. Or, yeah. They did it twice, right? Yeah. Second period, they battled back. Lucic gets a nice little tip-in goal. Zadorov with the assist. Goal and assist to us, Nate.
Dude, and I mean, Gabranson was... like,
dude!
There was a couple rough shifts for sure in the D zone where he looked rough and he looked old. But I mean, the dude looked like, comparatively, looked like Bobby Orr out there occasionally. he's like taking the puck zone to zone. Man, oh man.
I thought he had a great game.
Yeah, he was good.
Chucky ties it up on the power play. Fuck, that was a nice 5-on-3. Hey, it's nice. In the past, this team would get 5-on-3s. You're like, oh, fuck. They're never going to score. They never did. But that was a nice 5-on-3 goal. Huge goal in the game.
Dude.
To take the lead over. Matthew Tkachuk gets his revenge. Matthew Tkachuk has 5 goals already.
He does. He's not worth $9 million.
No, he's not worth it. He's so overrated.
I like the power. I like that power play setup. Actually, there was some behind the net action.
That was cool, eh?
Which Two guys behind the net. I haven't seen before, and I've always wanted to see like that. That's how you play a 5-on-3, baby.
I don't know if that was just.
Yeah, that might have just been like, hey, what are you doing back here? I don't know if that was by design or.
Exactly.
But it worked.
And then fucking Blake Como. Here's my thing, dude.
How is Blake Como still in the league?
How does Blake Como not draw blood? He absolutely high sticks.
Jeez Louise.
That was a sharp blade right to the face of Johnny Gaudreau. To me, that was the TSN turning play. Because that
cried.
That should have been a 4-minute penalty, even though it shouldn't have, because he didn't draw blood.
What is Johnny's skin made of? Jeez.
Right? How does he not draw blood? That's like the point of his stick right into the face with quite a bit of force. But if he draws 4,
yeah,
they don't tie it up. With what, 6 seconds remaining?
5 seconds, yeah.
What do you think of the goal of Mark?
Yeah, not good.
At first, when you look at it, you're like, oh man, I guess it was a well placed shot, which it was. But I don't know. To me, Noah Hanifin was the issue there. Like, for him to completely whiff on the puck,
yeah,
and then stand still and let a guy skate right past you, and then not catch up but get back on the play. Like, that's where the breakdown happens. It's a weird, weird 2-on-1.
You let them walk into you. Like, that's a 2-on-2, really, and Hanifin plays it poorly. His gap is kind of weird there.
I don't know. Just
fuck. It's a bad goal, though. But you could see Markstrom was – he thought that was going to be played differently.
Yeah, it just
– it wasn't like it beat him clean. He was cheating to the middle a bit.
It unfolded really weird.
It was weird, yeah. Like, it's...
And whatever, man. The guy's been so good.
He's got 3 shutouts in 5 games.
He's allowed to have one where you say, okay, he wants that one back every once in a while. Just don't keep doing it. Then fucking... This is even flukier. Sagan.
Yeah.
Tips Doink. The puck into his own chest.
Doink!
And then celebrates like he meant to do it. That pissed me off as well. But then the Flames don't die. That don't go away.
Dude, Shillington looked like a man on a mission.
Shillington looks like Bobby Orr, dude.
Dude, that was an incredible... Like, I don't know which I was... I don't know if I was more impressed by the transition play or by the shot by Nikita Zadorov.
Man, that was such a good shot. Like,
for a guy who has no offense, he can rip it.
And he meant... Where he put it is right where he meant to. Like, so, fuck, that was a great goal.
Yeah,
and then go back and look at his face. He's pissed.
Good.
He's like, pissed. I love it. There's one more comment I wanted to make about the kind of that mentality. I saw this in the Nashville game. I think... did they go up in Nashville? They were behind. No, they were behind. I think they were behind 1-0, and then it pans to the bench.
Oh, yeah.
And every the focus on all these guys' faces is like, if you pan the bench when Morgan's the coach, guys are like fucking looking around, just like fucking up in the stands, looking at the Jumbotron, just fucking
planning their playlist for practice.
Whatever. Yes. Yeah, it's like, whatever. It's fun. Hey, we're having fun, guys. Fun. Now you fucking look at the bench, man. It's with center. These guys are all just fucking raring to go, ready for the next shift. So focused. Fucking love it.
Well, again, you listen to guys post game, and I don't mean to go. We don't mean to go all Cassie Campbell on you guys here and talk about like their faces and demeanor, but
if you will,
do. Here's a drinking game. When Cassie's on the call, take a drink every time. She says, if you will, you'll be plastered by like 5 minutes into the first. It's insane. But you listen to these guys post game and their comments,
if you will.
And it's just so if it's so much different than it used to be. Right. It's like you hear Markstrom and he's like, after having 3 shutouts, he's like, yeah, I still got to be better. You know,
well, he does that regardless. But yeah,
he's nuts. But I mean, just the way they talk about the game, and it's there's no more. Oh, yeah, I thought we played good. Yeah, we're still, it's the process, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's constant. The theme is improvement every single night. That's what you want to see.
Well, and then you listen to the post game with Daryl after.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just so fucking dialed in. And here's one clip I wanted to throw in because he's talking again.
Yeah, this was great.
Talking about how this team, there's still much more work to go, and especially with individuals. And just basically speaking to what we've been harping on as a fan base for the past 3 seasons is like, can you just fucking figure it out?
Yeah, I think it's we're some of the parts, the whole thing. And we had some guys that were, hey, if you don't have your A game, you better have a good B game. We had some guys that didn't tonight have either. So that's why I say, I mean, we earned the point by those guys that made those, you know, those hard plays to get us the point, but I still think some guys, you know, we're not gonna win unless everybody's on top of their game. It's what it is. It's what I said all along. It's a process for these guys. A lot of returning players. It's baby steps for a lot of guys.
So, what a difference. I mean, it's weird because I guess he is saying process and it's very similar.
It's weird that he's saying it's a process, not saying trust the process, right? Like he's like,
exactly.
These guys are learning to play a certain type of way as opposed to, oh, my process is brilliant. If we just stick to it, everything's going to be rosy.
Well, the biggest difference is you're seeing the process.
Yeah, you're seeing results, right?
With Jeff Ford, you're like, what process? Exactly. You just got a chance, 50-12. Somehow you win, and that's the process.
The process is hang Dave Riddick out to dry and win.
That's the process. That's what we're supposed to trust. You know what the process is. He says it's playing as a unit. And I mean, we talked about this in the last podcast of like playoff hockey. The teams that have success, there is no individual fucking play above the team. Everybody's positionally sound for each other. That's so hard to play against, dude. When everybody has got everybody's position backed up. That's how you play. That's what he's getting, teaching these guys how to do. That's the process. And I love how he calls them out. They're still individuals, and he'll make sure they know who they are and what they need to do. Like, he's so dialed in.
And he also mentioned how, you know, the missed call on Mangiapane in overtime was a total missed call because the Flames dominated them in overtime. But Mangiapane gets like a breakaway, gets blatantly bowled over. And I mean, we haven't even discussed the fact that Markstrom got called for delay of game when he didn't even touch the bloody puck in the no touch zone. But it was very similar to the Nashville game. Missed call at the Flames end, and they come down and score.
Why is there always these games where just like the reffing is so one-sided where it almost, you can't help but make it, it doesn't, you can't help but think it's intentional. Like, well, it's just like, it's so one-sided that it's just like, are they intentionally not giving Calgary the power play while giving them penalties? Is it intentional?
Yeah. Like last night, how can you say, yeah, Matthew Tkachuk gets a penalty for lipping off from the bench. and the Flames get called on a Markstrom gets called for not playing the puck, bad mistaken call. And then Mangiapane gets tripped on a breakaway in overtime, not a breakaway, a partial break in overtime. You don't get that call. Like, how can you look at that and say that's balance and well done officiating?
You
like, that's
know
not, that's not even game management officiating. Like, if it was game management, they would have made up for the two shit calls against the Flames and give them a call. Like, it was just it's brutal.
Well, that's the thing, is you know this is how these refs operate. Okay, well, that was maybe a questionable call. We'll do a makeup. We'll do a makeup.
It's game management.
Not last night. No, actually, we missed the call. Markstrom didn't actually play it in the little fucking trapezoid area. But when they, you know, get tripped on a breakaway, we won't make it up.
Yeah, like last night was the worst because most people who hate game management, like I think everybody does, say just call the rule book. Last night was neither. They weren't managing the game or calling the rule book. They were just doing dumb shit.
And both ways, it was going against the Flames. They're calling the rule book incorrectly against the Flames and then not calling the rule book at all against the Stars. So fuck right off.
Yeah, it was bad.
So Daryl does say something about a post game. I mean, he's not making a big stink about it like John Tortorella, but he's vocal a little bit, right? I mean,
so he said that's a penalty on Monge.
That's a penalty. Fuck. Back-to-back games.
The Flames do need to figure out both goals in the last two overtime. It was funny because Francis, man, oh man, why does he get so many questions? He asked Daryl after this game, he was like, do you need to work on your 3-on-3 overtime? And Daryl was like, well, actually, like, probably not. If you look back at my record with the Kings, we were like the best 3-on-3 team ever. So, but yeah, there was actually like, you mentioned Hanifin kind of making a weird read on the Como goal. In overtime, he seems to be kind of making some weird reads as well.
Dude, his biggest weakness is his hockey sense. Great skater.
Yeah.
He does a straight line thing pretty good. I don't get what he's doing half the time when he's trying to create offense because he doesn't, but...
The game against the Ducks, he was on the ice and made that weird play with Monahan too. The Flames have lost 3 overtime games all in a similar fashion, getting burned. And I think he was on the ice against on the Predators goal too. Getting burned off of weird plays in the offensive zone. And then they get scored on in overtime in the rush, like to a T, Anaheim, Nashville, Dallas. That's how they've been scored on in overtime. So I want to see Coleman in overtime a little bit more, would be my preference.
Put Coleman, Monge, and Shillington out there together, dude.
Yeah. I like the Gaudreau, Lindholm, poor Monahan. He's just like, oh, it used to be me out there. He's just been totally replaced by Lindholm. Obviously, Gaudreau, Lindholm is a great pairing. Tkachuk and Backlund have been a great pairing in the past, but I mean, they haven't looked great in overtime. Like, I don't know. I want to see more of Manj in general. Like, I think Kent Wilson tweeted this. I was like, he didn't play a ton 5-on-5 last
again.
Like, Pitlick played more than him. At this point, I don't know what Lewis does on this team other than like, I don't know what he does because he hasn't been very good. So I want to see more of Manj and I want to see more of Coleman.
Okay, thoughts on Richardson's first game?
I mean, not very good, but...
What do you expect?
Yeah.
All right, anything else game-wise, numbers-wise?
Well, again, Zadorov had a great game. He looks slow out there. When you do have... Did you see the box score when Lucic scored? It was like Lucic from Zadorov and Gabranson. Dude, Gabranson has 4 assists this year. He has as many points as Sean Monahan.
Dude, he's been good. I mean, you look at these the game scores after Zadorov's second to Lindholm.
Zadorov, he gets the goal and the assist, but Daryl referenced it, I think post game too, is like against Dallas, who plays a strong, smart, physical brand of hockey, you need guys who can play that way. And he did that last night.
Yeah. What was the one play? Was it Ben? I think it was.
Yeah. He angles off Ben and just a perfect, just that's how you want Nikita Zadorov to play defense.
Yeah.
Jamie Ben's coming in on the rush. Looks like he maybe has a step, but Zadorov plays him perfectly and then eliminates him. Just drives him right into the boards.
Was it the one on the half boards or in the corner? Cause he did it twice.
I think it was the one on the half boards.
Yeah. That was perfect nice play. Early in the game. He does it in the corner too. He's that's what you want. But if you're looking at your top five game scorers, you got Lindholm, Zadorov, Shillington, Gabranson, Lucic. I mean, yeah. you love to see it. I mean,
it's great, man. Like people says, give a shit for like what? Like, there's nothing that I want more than for Eric Gabranson to be good for this team, right? Like,
yeah, they deserve to win a meter. I always love this one. 55% of the time, Calgary wins that game. So, I mean, you take the majority of the play and fucking refs and the. But the thing is, man, if you have five power play attempts,
yeah,
I guess one of them is nullified with the fucking missed call, but. Still, you got to fucking take better advantage.
Yeah, totally.
You also, anything else you want to say about Monahan? Because you did make a point.
I don't know. It's like, what do you do with the guy, right? Like, he's not doing, he had the one good game against, was it
Philly? He'll come around.
But man.
He just needs to play.
I sure hope so.
He just needs to play against easier opponents.
And I get, like, again, he's playing with Lewis and Richardson last night, both of whom suck. So I hope they can figure out what to do with Monahan. I really do, because they need him. But, like, again, a Sean Monahan goal in the last two games gets you probably an extra point at least. So,
all right. So they have two games left in this little homestand they're in. They're 1-0-2, so they beat Philly. They go back-to-back overtime losses. So you got the Rangers coming up on Saturday evening. You got 2 days off, then you face the Sharks. I guess we'll be recording after the Sharks game before they go on a 2-4-6-7 game road trip, which, hey.
The old set of road trips. I like it.
I like it. They're playing better on the road right now. Plus, you get to see those seven games in a row in those sexy white uniforms.
Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, fuck. I need to wear those at home occasionally. I think those are too nice.
Yeah. But, man, it'd be nice if you get 3 out of 4 points coming up here against Rangers and the Sharks. They're both off to decent starts. I think the Sharks are starting to level off a bit. But, anyways, you can't almost beat them. You can't come in second place like Brad Your Living does against these teams. You have to, you know. Keep playing the way you're playing, I guess. Trust the process.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.